Sometimes I think we may take the word faith or faithfulness lightly. I believe a lot of times we take faithfulness to mean that someone is there every time the doors are open and that's it. There's nothing more to it. Well, friends, we can't stop there. Now, while faithfulness in attendance and faithfulness in the church is a part of it, that's not all of it. Just because we fill a spot in the pew on Sunday morning doesn't mean that we punched our ticket for the rest of the week. We can live like the devil all we want to. That's not what faithfulness is. So this morning, I'd like to try to help us define Bible faithfulness. We're going to do that by discussing some basic principles of Bible faithfulness. Now, faithfulness can be described or defined from the following passages. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Notice what Paul tells the Corinthians there. Be steadfast, be unmovable, don't move. Don't go anywhere, stay right there. Stand fast in the faith. Unmovable. And notice what else he says here in his definition of faithfulness. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. How often is always, my friend? Think about it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means, my friend, that wherever I go, if I'm on vacation, if I'm at work, if I'm at school, people ought to be able to see that I'm a Christian. People ought to be able to hear that I'm a Christian. They ought to be able to see my faithfulness. Another passage that we can use to define faithfulness is found there in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice with me again verse 23. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Do you see how Paul is describing faithfulness in 1 Corinthians and the Hebrews writer here? Faithfulness is fulfilled in a person that does not move from the foundation of God's Word, that refuses to be moved, that will not allow himself to be swayed. Friends, so I must ask the question of myself, does that describe me? Or am I the type of person that when the first difficulty comes along, I falter and waver? I don't stand fast upon the truth, but rather compromise. Go along to get along. Friends, that's not faithfulness. Paul tells us as much. The Hebrews writer tells us as much. And friends, the goal of Christian faithfulness, if we want to be faithful, friends, we realize that the goal of Christian faithfulness is to glorify the Father. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, Ephesians 3 and verse 21, and John 15 and verse 8 says, Herein is my Father glorified. Notice what Christ says here. It is in this that my Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That you be faithful. The people see the fruits of your faithfulness. In that is the Father glorified. I'm mindful of Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, where Jesus tells us there that we are the light of the world. And there in verse 16 he says, what? That you may be glorified? That men may see your good works? That you may be glorified? No. That the Father in heaven may be glorified. Is my light shining? Is your light shining as a Christian? Is the Father glorified in your life? Well, friends, the object of Christian faithfulness is Christ. Christ. I want to notice three things concerning the object of Christian faithfulness. That is Christ. The object of Christian faithfulness is Christ, is the Christ in His church. The object of Christian faithfulness is the Christ, His doctrine, and the object of Christian faithfulness, is the Christ, His mission. Now, friends, unless a Christian becomes faithful, he's not pleasing unto the Father. First of all, let's look at this first basic principle of Bible faithfulness. Faithfulness to Christ's church. Well, friends, what is the church? We know that Christ, or Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. We read that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The church is His body. The body is His church. This requires us, my friend, to be unwavering in Christian worship. We're still there in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice with me again this passage that James read for us this morning. And notice every word that the Hebrews writer tells us here. Translated to our English language, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." You know, a lot of preachers, when they preach upon faithfulness to the church or faithfulness in attendance, the sugar stick is Hebrews 10:25, friend. We can't stop there. We begin, need to begin, there in verse 23, when we want to talk about being faithful to the church, being faithful in attendance. Notice what he says, let us, as Christians, hold fast, hang on to it, don't let go, the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't be blown about by the wind. For He, Christ, is faithful that promised, and let us, each one of us as individuals, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now remember when the Hebrews writer is writing this letter. The destruction of Jerusalem is coming. Hasn't yet happened. Now notice verse 25 in that light. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of judgment upon Jerusalem. It's coming. It's destruction. Well, friends, don't we have a day of judgment coming? Are we ready? Notice what the Hebrews writer implies. When we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we put it with verses 23 and 24, and we forsake the assembly. We're not here when we know that we can be, when we know that we should be. It's a discouragement to those around me. It's a discouragement knowing that I have a brother or sister in Christ that doesn't think enough of me, that doesn't think enough of Jesus, that doesn't think enough of God to come to worship. You ever thought about it like that? Here are these Christians in Jerusalem are looking for the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem. And the Hebrews writer says the manner, the custom of some that wore the name Christian was to go on about their merry way and do their own thing. Not worry about their brothers or sisters in Christ. On the other hand, how encouraging is it to see my brother or sister in Christ day in and day out, to know that when I walk through those doors on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, to know that I'm going to see you. To know that I'm going to get to shake your hand, give you a hug. And if I didn't get to see you during the week, how your week was. How the past few days have been. Friends, that's encouraging. To be able to have that fellowship one with another. And then notice 26 and 27 again. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Friends, the sacrifice has been made. And if we reject that sacrifice, friends, there is no more sacrifice. There's nothing else that can be done. There's one sacrifice, Christ Jesus. And if we reject that one, friends, there's nothing else. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Friends, if we reject Christ, you better believe we're going to receive a swift judgment. Swift and sure. We must be faithful, friends, to the body of Christ, to be unwavering in Christian worship. That also includes being steadfast in Christian fellowship. That is joint participation with fellow Christians. You know, in Acts chapter 2, after Peter had preached that first gospel sermon, after the 3,000 had obeyed, in verse 42, what do we read there of the Christians? They continued how? Steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, and in what? Fellowship. One with another. You know what we see there? Christians being together day in and day out. Calling upon one another, checking on one another, waiting upon one another, seeing if they can help one another. Does that describe me? Does that describe you? Are we aware of what our brothers and sisters are doing each day? Are we checking up on one another? Are we in fellowship with one another? Or do we simply fill a spot on a pew and go about our merry way? Friends, there's more to faithfulness than just attendance. We need to worship. We need to be here in fellowship with one another and worship God. It doesn't stop there. Romans 12 and verse 15, we read, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, as Curtis made our announcement this morning, we know that there are those among our number or in our number that suffer. They may not be able to be here this morning because of sickness. We suffer with them. There may be some among our number that have enjoyed a great experience this past week. We ought to rejoice with them. Weep with them that weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. That's how we stay in fellowship with one another. But part of that fellowship is giving every first day of the week as well. Now, how is that, preacher? How does me putting money in a plate or checking the plate each Sunday, what does that have to do with fellowship? Friends, by giving back to the Lord and allowing that money to be used for the Lord's work, we are in fellowship with whoever or wherever that money goes, to help our missionaries out in the field. We're in fellowship with those that we help here in San Angelo. We're in fellowship by giving back to the Lord. We read of giving on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Friends, we are to be faithful in such. We are to be faithful to the Lord's church. Number two, the basic principle of Bible faithfulness is faithfulness to the doctrine of Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 John. And I want you to notice with me verses 9 through 11. Notice what John says here. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Think about that for a minute. Notice first of all, whosoever transgresses means to miss the mark, to go beyond The American Standard said, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not, that is, make his dwelling in the doctrine of Christ. Friends, we are to live in the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is to be who I am. That's where I am to live. I ought to live with my nose in his book. Not in the newspaper. Not glued to the television. But his book ought to be a part of my everyday life. But the person that doesn't do that, that goes beyond what God has said, that does not make his dwelling in the doctrine of Christ, he has not God. But notice, on the contrary, he that does do this, he that makes his dwelling in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. But notice what he says here in verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine that we have preached, John says, the doctrine that we have taught, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house. Anyone comes to you teaching false doctrine, don't let them in. Why? Neither bid him Godspeed. Why? Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Let's think about this for a minute. We were going by, I don't guess you would call it a roadblock. I believe it was yesterday, but people were out on the street taking money, and the sign said for the poor. But we got the distinct impression from where they were and things that were written on the sign, that while the donations, I'm sure, would have gone to help the poor, it was going to go to help teach the poor false doctrine as well. If I would have stopped and put money in that bucket, friends, what would I have been doing? I'd have been spreading false doctrine. The denomination that has a candy bar sale to help fund a mission trip, when I buy one of those candy bars, guess what I'm helping do? I'm helping spread false doctrine. Neither bid him good Godspeed. Why? Because when you do, you're partaker of his evil deed. Friends, when we do things like that, we basically say, Godspeed. Good luck. Hope you have success. And when we do, friends, we may as well be preaching that false doctrine ourselves, John says. Friends, faithfulness to the doctrine of Christ means to become rooted and grounded in the truth. Notice with me Colossians 1 and verse 23, please. Paul, writing to the Colossians, says here, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Friends, notice here that they were to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Grounded here comes from a Greek word meaning foundation. When a foundation is laid, it cannot be moved. Settled here means sedentary. Sedentary. Again, giving the impression it's not going anywhere. And notice here that the faith, notice he says the faith, he's not talking about simple belief in Jesus Christ. He's talking about that doctrine or system of faith. Friends, if I'm going to be faithful to the doctrine of Christ, I've got to be grounded and rooted in that system or doctrine of Christ. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, Paul tells Timothy there to hold fast to that doctrine that he, Paul, had delivered him from Christ. He was to never let go. Friends, to be faithful to the doctrine of Christ, we need as well not only to preach it, but we need to practice it. It needs to be seen in our lives. Galatians 2, 17 and 18, Paul tells us there that we make ourselves transgressors when we do not practice what we teach. Friends, in James 1 and verse 22, James gives us there a great principle concerning faithfulness. Speaking to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, that is the Christians that are all over the world, he says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If I want to ask myself, how faithful am I? I need to ask myself this question. Am I a doer of the word? Do I perform the commandments of Christ? Or am I a hearer only, deceiving myself into thinking that I'm saved just because I've heard? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, James says. Friends, this must include love of the brethren. This must include love of the lost, and above all else, love of God. Love for God. I need to be faithful to Christ's church. I need to be faithful to His doctrine. And friends, I must be faithful to His mission. Luke 19 and verse 10, we read there of Jesus Christ that He came to this earth not to do anything but to seek and to save the lost. That's why He came. That's why He was here. John 5 and verse 30 says that He was on this earth seeking the will of the Father. John 6 and verse 38, He says the same thing. What does that mean? Friends, this means to be steadfast in the work of the Lord on a personal basis. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and notice this with me. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Notice this earlier, but I want us to notice this once more. And I want you to notice as we read this, notice the personal pronouns that Paul uses. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, it is an individual responsibility to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. It is my responsibility to share the gospel. It is my responsibility to seek and to save the lost. That was Christ's mission, wasn't it? Do I not wear the name Christian, which in and of itself means Christ-like? I ought to seek and save that which is lost. As Christ did, as we read in John 5 and verse 30, my job upon this earth is to seek the will of the Father. Now, friends, in doing that as well, I need to fulfill my ability as well. If I don't have anything to do in my local congregation, friends, I need to find something to do. Ask, what can I do? Or if you see something not being done, do it. That's a personal responsibility. Falls to each one of us. And friends, being faithful to the mission of Christ also means to be ready to serve others. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says what? To do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Be ready to serve others. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we read there of a picture of the judgment. Those that served others, Christ said, come in. Well done. Be faithful to the mission of Christ. Be faithful to the doctrine of Christ and be faithful to the church that belongs to Christ. In that, friends, is Bible faithfulness. to putting away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We may ask the question, how can we apply these principles? How can these things apply personally unto me? Friends, number one, let's establish an immovable commitment to the assembling of the saints. When the saints are gathering together, let's make a commitment within ourselves to be there. You know, I was talking with someone the other day of works that go on overseas and in other places. I know a close friend of mine went down to Jamaica a couple of years ago, and they were door knocking down there holding a gospel meeting, and the guy that was doing the gospel meeting was an American down there, and the first night, Sunday night, he preached for 25, maybe 30 minutes. The local preacher pulled him aside after that night and said, for the rest of the week, Monday night through Friday night, you need to preach at least an hour, preferably about an hour and a half, because some of these men and women travel up to 3 hours to get here. The rest of the night, or the rest of the week, you preach for an hour, hour and a half. I'm not going to keep you here for another hour. But friends, doesn't that show the commitment that some people have to wanting to know the truth of the Lord? To wanting to hear the Word of God preached? That they would travel 3 hours to attend a gospel meeting? And the majority of them walking? And it's too much for me to hop in my car and drive 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ, those of like faith, on a Sunday night. To come together to study the Word of God on a Wednesday night, that's too much to ask of me. Friends, if that's too much to ask, I really don't know what to say. But if I'm going to apply these principles to myself, then I need to establish an immovable commitment to the assembling of the saints. Be together with brothers and sisters of like faith when I have that opportunity. Number two, if I'm going to apply these principles, I need to live in a manner of speaking an aggressive life for Jesus. Let others know I am a Christian by the way that I live. Number three, I need to get involved in the work of the congregation and I need to stick with it. And number four, I need to be faithful in all my obligations, even when I'm away from home. Friends, would you be a faithful Christian? Are you here this morning never having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you do so this morning? Would you be faithful to Him, to His church, to His doctrine, to His mission? Would you obey His gospel? Believe in Him, repent of sin, confess His name before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins. Are you here this morning, my friend, having done those things but fallen away? Would you be faithful once more? Would you rededicate yourself to the service of Christ? Friends, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or you just need the prayers of the church, friends, would you do so now? Come forward as we stand and as we sing.